tell us about the Dover.
Okay, so in a Dover printer, in order to do the page imaging, there's kind of a square unit that sits on top of the xerographics that literally looks like a suitcase. And in fact, there's a molded plastic top on it with buckles that if you unbuckle it, you can take it off and actually, and the laser is probably a foot long or something like that. And then you can literally see the mirrors that the laser bounces off of, and then the rotating.
It was like an optical table that you could.
That's exactly what it was. It was literally a small. Well, I saw the original prototypes, and they were huge. They were literally big optical tables. And so this was basically a quote-unquote miniaturized optical table. And that's how all the imaging was done on it. And it was just incredible to see. And, you know, of course, Starkweather's going to be on your panel tomorrow.
Yeah, we hope.
He's the guy that came up with that and built all those early ones.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary's.
But, yeah, those were incredible.
I always wanted to meet him.
And what was really a trip, too, in making those is we had some guys that had originally been Xerox tech reps, and so they knew the copying machines really well. And so we'd get a literal Xerox 7000 copier in through the door, take all the panels off of it, and these guys would literally crawl inside of it and be throwing pieces and parts out all over the place, and you end up with just the basic xerographic engine, and that's it, with all of the rest of the stuff gone. And then you come in and add in the electronics to hook up to the Orbit interface on the Alta that was controlling it, and then put the laser sled on top and go from there. And that was basically the same thing with the Penguin printer, which was based on the Xerox 5400 copier. And that was the first one that had the capability to do two-sided printing. And then the Puffin was based on the Xerox, I think it was called the 6500, which was the first color copier. And one of the neat things that Gary Swagger and Dad Putman did with that was one of the things that Xerox had thought about but never done, and that was they added a fourth toner cartridge of just black.
Right, right.
That did two things. One, if you were just strictly doing black and white, you didn't waste all of the color toner cartridges, and it also added to the depth of all the rest of the colors by having black available as well.
So on this particular Alto, where do you think it came from and what's wrong with it currently? But we got the Dispac working.
Well, Mel told me in an email the other day that it had had stickers on it that indicated it had been in a particular hall. I don't remember what he said it was, but something hall at Stanford. So he assumed that therefore it had been part of the university grant program of some of the Altos that were put at Stanford. And then the current status of this one is it had all the boards removed out of it. So we've put all the boards in, but we're missing one board called the memory address board. So hopefully we're going to be able to find one of those. It's also missing the connector that goes from the control board to the CRAM board. And so we're going to have to try to find one of those. The other possible problem that it has, and we won't know until we have a meter so that we can check, is that two or three of the power supplies may, in fact, not be working as well. So,
and, we
but what we were able to do is, since the plus and minus 15 power supplies are clearly working, the Diablo disk comes up just fine, and we actually put one disk pack in, spun it up, the head's loaded, and so it seems, as near as we can tell without really doing anything with it, that at least mechanically it seems to be working properly.
Those are pretty loud disk packs.
They're typically not quite as loud as the one that we put in there. I suspect it was a little louder than usual just because it's been sitting around and hasn't spun for a long, long time.
Yeah. Now, what that blackjack disk that was put in, that's the blackjack game that would come up on the...
Actually, I put another one in. I saved blackjack just thinking that it might have more value.
Right. So on the Alto screen, what would the interface look like? What would the would there be windows? Would there be a prompt?
Oh, okay. Basically, when you boot up the OS, the Alto display, as it's oriented sort of like a piece of paper, comes up with primarily a white background, just like a piece of paper would, and black type on it or fonts. just like a piece of paper would. And you come up with a little prompt for the Alto OS itself. Uh-huh. And so you don't have any windows or icons or anything at that point. There's an area at the top that tells you that you've booted into the Alto OS, what version it is, and some information like that. Further down the screen will be the Alto prompt. And at that point, you can then type in a command or the name of one of the programs that's on the disk. And then that program may well have some UI to it in terms of mm-hmm. icons or for instance, if it was the drawing program called Markup, it would have all of the markup tools and stuff like that on it. But the standard Alto stuff in and of itself doesn't have an interface like, for instance, Star or Elixir does, where it has icons on the display at all times.
So windows would tend to open up, not necessarily overlapping or a little
right.
tool palette.
Typically you might just be running one program, and so that's going to take up probably the whole display. But there are ways to tile windows.
So the draw, I remember seeing screenshots of draw with mm-hmm. little tools, palettes on one side, and then
right. exactly.
the great grandfather of all draw paint programs.
Yeah.